Good morning, and welcome everyone. It's great to be here today. We miss our officers who are away. It means more work for other people, but they've worked hard as they've come, and they've settled in, and they're getting around all that's going on around the place, and there's plenty happening all the time. There's training up in the rooms here for OASIS, because the Salvation Army is taking over our Narrabunda site, and there's been, well, nearly 3 weeks of training to look after the youth of Canberra. And there's been some disruption and some negative stories about the oldies having to move from across there, but we're ploughing ahead because there's a lot of people involved in trying to help the youth of Canberra as well. But it's great to be here, and it's great to be in the house of God and relying on Him to help us with our daily lives. So let us have a prayer as we commence today. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks indeed for your love towards us and how you give us enormous responsibilities to be Christians where we are, and to not only grow our own faith, but to encourage others through the way we live and the way we speak to others. Guide us, we pray today, and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Do you want to pray now? Let's pray. Father God, we love you. You're a gracious, loving Heavenly Father. You are kind. Your love is eternal. We thank you for your compassion, for your thoughts of us all the time, for the way you forgive. And just now, as we come to you, we want our hearts made clean so that our heart might be open to your words, our eyes and our ears opened to what you're saying to us this morning. We come to worship you. And we worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, thank you for all you have done through Jesus for us to be our provision for our life as we live it. And we want to thank you and praise you. And Father, we know that there are many who are persecuted for your sake. And from this little prayer, I want to pray for them. Heavenly Father, we lift to you those who are caught up in conflicts around the world, especially Christians who already endure persecution because they believe in you. Please protect your church in countries where enemies attack and besiege them, even outside of war. We pray that you will strengthen believers living in such places and ask that you prepare them for the suffering they will face for the sake of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
So we've been studying the doctrines lately to try and keep ourselves on track. And I went through these when I was about 20 or something like that. And in Doctrine 9, I was about to sign up to the doctrines and go to Grenfell under the officer there, and I thought, hang on, I'm having trouble with Doctrine 9. And so I had to go back to town to talk to him about it and clarify it. That was the one that was spoken about last week. And anyway, we sorted it out, because I thought I had to be completely obedient or I was out. I wasn't included in God's plan. And I'm going, hang on, that can't be right. I don't think I can sign up to that one because I'd never last a week. But anyway, we sorted that out, and I was sworn in the Salvation Army when I was around 20 or so. I can just remember back that far. Right. But anyway, we're thinking about doctrine number 10 today. And perhaps I should go from here. Do you want to read it through with me and so we can get an idea of it? We believe that it is the privilege of all believers to be wholly sanctified, and that their whole spirit and soul and body may be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a huge, huge thing, isn't it? To have that kind of responsibility. We'll look at that further. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Okay.
The second Bible reading this morning is taken from Romans chapter 7, and I'll read on from verse 21 into chapter 8. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. May the Lord add his understanding to our reading.
So you can see we're not the only ones who battled with our flesh and the law of sin and death and following rules. We see through that reading how Paul struggled even with himself after his major conversion, and then finally he relaxes. There's no condemnation for them in Christ Jesus who walk every day in the Spirit. And that's a relief and a blessing to us all to know that he understood that, because he was such a ratbag in the early days, following the law so fully. And let us pray as we consider these things today. Lord, please guide us and help us as we consider sanctification today. Help us to understand how strong and full is your message and your word for us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we believe that it is the privilege of all believers to be wholly sanctified, and that their whole spirit, soul, and body may be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That seems like an impossible task, to be sanctified people. Well, does the word sanctimonious come when other people look at you and it goes to church? He's sanctimonious? I'm not sure. But anyway, to be sanctified and be holy so that you're so different. This doctrine is soundly based on Scripture, as in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24, which says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." I like that part. I like that part. If so, if that's true, it's great. But we'll take some time today just to expand on the many references to the possibility of this and other Bible verses. A question: how are you travelling in your Christian journey today? You don't have to answer that right now if you don't want to, but think about it. And as I thought about that, I thought, that the Christian pathway is a bit like riding a push bike. I know some of you like to ride a push bike. At first, it's hard to ride, to get your balance, and then there are those steep hills, and sand, and rocks, and other traffic. As a young boy going to a one-teacher school near our farm, many years ago, we used to ride old bikes my father maintained. Summer in the heat, and in winter, the fog and the frost. Not to mention the magpies and everything else that come and attack you. I've come off my bike, and you might have done the same. Oh, I brought a bike with me today. I've had that bike for many years, and it's been hanging from the roof of the garage for about the last 5 or 6, and I haven't even used it. I had to pump up the tyres to bring it here this morning. And it's all rusted up. Yeah. A Salvation Army friend of ours was riding his bike from Canberra to Sydney. He was a really keen bike rider. He was partly deaf and he didn't hear or see a semi-trailer coming, which knocked him off his bike. They called an ambulance and 2 ambulances arrived, one for Tommy and the other for the crumpled bike. Captain Tom rode again. I think he rode to Brisbane after that. But now they have electric bikes and helmets and special gear to make it more comfortable. Hey, I've heard of people who've got electric bikes. And I preferred motorbikes because you didn't have to pedal them. There's an enormous difference when we have the power and boost to help us on our journey. You can see where this is going, can't you? On this Christian journey, we can plod along in our own strength or do much better by God's empowering in our lives. And so that verse keeps coming back, which backs up this doctrine so soundly. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. It's God who does it. We move in his direction and he does it in us, if we let him. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. That's the second time or third time I've said it. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. And we can relax in him, providing we are in him. He, God, by his Trinitarian power, gives us the power to have a good Christian journey. He is the electricity or the motor which provides the impetus to drive us forward successfully in our journey. In Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, "Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love." They're big promises, aren't they? They're huge, that God promises to do it for us. We want to be well thought of, well known, and we want to be noticed by people for how good we are. And there's a certain amount of good in us, of course. Let's not deny that. There's a certain amount of good in us. But we haven't really quite made it until we have God who comes upon us and puts the electricity and the power into our life or into our Christian experience. In Isaiah 57:15, it says, "For this is what the High and Exalted One says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit," that is us, "to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite, one who expresses remorse," that's the contrite person, "regret or is sorry for wrongs he has done." We have all experienced this at times, so God is interested in helping us in our good times and in our sorrow. God wants to revive our spirit, lift us up and give us his power and strength, a charged battery and petrol in the motor. The sanctified state has two main aspects. In 2 Corinthians 6:16 we read, "You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they will be my people. I'll be with them and they will be my people." That is God's promise to us. I will be with in you and I will help you. So Paul's words present both truths, that of belonging to God and set apart, separated unto him and into his service, and of being possessed and indwelt by God in such a way that his holy nature is shed abroad in the life of a believer. And that has made a difference. It's made a huge difference to Gillian and myself through our lifetime. You know, I could have been a farmer, still battling out there, and going on, have a broken back and skin off everywhere, trying to be a farmer on and on and on. But God helped us make that huge decision of, okay, it's time to quit farming and to get more concentrated even on doing God's work. And we had debt and all sorts of things to worry about. On the farm, because you had to send yourself broke to put the crop in anyway and then hope to get back and more. But I won't get in that too much. But it has changed our life so that when it came time to make a move, I myself took it quietly because I was about 49 years of age when I thought about it first. And isn't it 7 times 7? The Jewish people are supposed to give back pay all their debts and live quietly and take a whole year off. And I didn't take a year off, I still worked. But I went away for retreats and I talked to clergy and I prayed about it. And I thought, yeah, I think it's time to move. And the seasons just were favourable to us to go, right, there's wheat everywhere up to the fences, it's green, it's a prosperous year. And I thought, what better time to do than take a wave and take a wave home to a new thing, and then entirely not do that anymore and do something new. And that's when I went away to do the 14 years of chaplaincy throughout New South Wales. So that's a big decision, sell a family farm and to do that. And I couldn't have done it without God's help. A common expression of today is being filled with the Holy Spirit, or walking in spirit. If we are continuing with today's analogy, riding in the power of the Holy Spirit. One of my favourite verses, and I nearly always talk about it because it's been so meaningful to me, is Ephesians 5:18, which says, "Do not get drunk with wine, instead be filled with the Spirit." And in the Greek language, in the aorist tense, it means be and continue to be filled with the Spirit. And that's a sort of a teaching we came through a long time after I signed the doctrines. And I came to realise that it was necessary to strive to live with Christ at the centre of your life. And the Message Bible says, "Don't drink too much wine, that cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God, huge draughts of him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything. Any excuse for a song to God, the Father, in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ." And I read on, this is from the Message Bible, and I read on, and this guy gets really intense. In his interpretation, he starts off a little bit early and says, "Don't waste your time in useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in the darkness where no one will see. Rip the cover off those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Wake up from your sleep, climb out of your coffins, Christ will show you the light. So watch your step, use your head, make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. Now that's fairly clear and strong, isn't it? Yeah, that's fairly clear and strong. Don't waste your time living without God and without the Spirit. So being separated to God means being separated from every contrary commitment. No one can serve two opposing interests at the one time. So it's important to fully consecrate our lives to God to be able to enjoy life lived in the Spirit. And I've got a drink of water. And Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, and Paul says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. And this verse challenged me deeply when I was just about 18 years old, away at a youth weekend in Bathurst. And there was a powerful evangelist there, and he went through this verse and he hammered it, and he called for a commitment in the end, and I was shaking in my boots after he said that. And therefore it's remained with me ever since, that we cooperate with the will of God and the plan of God for us. This transforming is concerned with the sanctifying work God does in and through men and women by delivering us from self and sin, purifying us from defilement, and transforming our lives in holy love, so that devotion to God takes the place of devotion to self and wrongdoing is replaced with holy conduct. Now that's a huge stretch for this human flesh, this nature we've got, isn't it? And I'll divert for a moment or two. And have you heard the statement, Houston, we've had a problem? Do you remember that? Houston, we've had a problem. This was a message from the commander of Apollo 13. He said that back to mission control located in Houston, Texas. Astronauts had something go wrong when they took off on their course to the moon. They did have a big problem, didn't they? Right. Did they survive? Yes. And they returned safely to Earth and no one was lost. So what hinders us on our journey closer to God? There are two verses of scripture that I want us to look at. And I could say, folks, we've had a problem. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's a problem. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But verse 24 says, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So after the problem comes an answer. And the astronauts found the answers with the help of Houston, and they got back safely and alive. And Romans 6:23 also says, for the wages of sin is death, which means spiritual separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so there's the problem and there's an answer to the problem. So folks, we had a problem, but it has been solved. So we still have to recognise our sinful nature in all of this, because there's good and bad in us, isn't there? Have you noticed that? There is good and bad in us. And we need to totally yield to God's plan for him to solve it for us. He will do it. He will do it. Both the verses we looked at have the answer right with the problem, as I've mentioned. And in John 1:12 we read, "To as many as received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And so it's a matter of receiving God. He calls to us, he knocks. We seek, we find, we ask, he answers. And it's as simple as that. And yet it's hard to do, because we can't give up self so easily. So how do we achieve this living in the Spirit on a daily basis in practical terms? Obviously, as Christians, we need to be constantly filled by his Spirit, or sanctified by his power, to make progress in our lives. And that's been, you know, a lifetime journey for me. I've lived all these years. I might have to live another 10 or 20 to get closer to sorting it all out. So the secret is ongoing confession and contrition and renewal from our daily sins, to recognise the old sin nature and to move successfully out of it. And ongoing confession and forgiveness is a huge necessity to walking in the Spirit. And of course, we have key verses in Scripture which give us like a direction book to us. And in 1 John 1:9, and I'm always quoting this nearly every time I speak, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." And so when I got to understand this concept in simple terms, it made a huge difference to me and a huge difference to people I was speaking to as well. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through to 3, 1 to 3, it talks about three different states that we're in, and this was helpful to us when we're in our 30s or 40s, and our spiritual development. Come back to that 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, our sin has been dealt with, our sin as a general theme has been dealt with, but we still have our sins to deal with on a daily basis. And that's why Paul says, you know, there is natural, spiritual, and carnal, or dirty Christians. And so we can be walking around as dirty Christians, and people go, "Well, they go to church and I can't see any difference in their behaviour." You know, and rightly they say that, because we haven't done the right thing. Sometimes we might say, "God, forgive me for a bad day. Please help me tomorrow." And so they sleep clean, and then when they wake up the next morning, they do something or speak to their wife or husband badly, and they're dirty, and then they stay dirty all day, and they come to God at the end of the day and go, "God, forgive me for the day." So they sleep clean and live dirty. Do you do that too or not? Anyway, so the way back is to confess our sins to him. That's our daily sins. And then invite the Holy Spirit to be number one again, so that we come from this position across. So that concept has helped me greatly to simplify. How do you do this? How do you live a holy and sanctified life? How is it possible? Well, God did it, and we need to cooperate what he said and trust him in his word. So let us have Jesus as number one in our lives, and let him do it, and be being constantly filled with his Spirit in our daily walk. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks indeed today, because not only do you call us to be holy in our living and to live a sanctified life, but you provide the means by which we can do that, from your book of instructions, by talking to helpful friends, by listening to what you're saying to us by your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to ask you where we should go on this day and every day. Guide us and help us to remain close to you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So our benediction today is our main verse that we talked about. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. He who called you is faithful. He will do it.